This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Get Serial with Ben,
Tom
and Bram
on Sin.
Ooh, yum.
90.7. And I said to him, if you don't move your bins away from my nature strip again, it'll be the last Christmas card you ever get from me.
Oh,
mercy. Oh, boy. I'll tell you, you're joining us here live. It's Get Serial Tuesdays, the podcast version. We're having some fine dining.
We decided last week we're in Hawaii and we couldn't push the bar any further. Oh, so we said to them, hey, can we go out for dinner? And they said, absolutely, yes. So now we're at a restaurant.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm not used to ever going to a restaurant that isn't KFC. So for me, this is like a really big deal.
Yeah, we're experiencing fine dining, Ben.
Yeah, I feel underdressed and it's really cool.
I told you to put your penguin suit on.
Yeah, I know, I forgot.
Yeah, no, I normally do try to find spots that are a bit more, I guess, not necessarily obscure, but like they're small businesses or like family run. But this is the first time that I've, in a very long time, that I've been somewhere, I guess you could say, fancy. I feel kind of out of place.
Yeah,
I think I overdressed for this occasion. You reckon Tails and Top Hat were too much?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little. Oh, is that the waiter coming?
Yeah.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, hey.
Here is a complimentary round of Sprites, courtesy of the house.
Oh, I love Sprite.
No way. Waiter, do you know about Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram?
Yes.
I feel like at this point...
Hey, it's a yes nonetheless.
Point in time, everyone and their dog knows about Get Serial Tuesdays.
Yeah, no.
What about their cat?
We don't talk about cats on this show.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately.
In this household, we have dogs.
Yeah.
Waiter, could I please order the fettuccine amatriciana?
Yes, is Pepsi okay, sir?
Sprite will be.
Yes, Sprite, all right then. Okay, what can I get for you, Mr. Ben, sir?
Yeah, I'll go a lemonade as well. Sprite would be great, thanks.
Yes, and for you, Mr. Bram.
I'll get a large Napolitana.
Lovely, that's 14 Sprites. I will be back in 45 minutes with your beverages. Thank you, gentlemen.
I reckon we've done very well with this.
Yeah, look, I mean, yeah. I'm starting to think, and it's horrible to say, I think that soft drink, I might need it, like, in these mornings, because, I don't know, it is starting to catch up with me a little bit.
Need a little bit of a sugary...
Yeah, that or I should stop having weekends where I'm going to bed at 4 in the morning, because that keeps on happening lately, and it's just not going very well.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, no, it was insane. I mean, like, you know, the night we hung out, what was that, Friday night?
Yeah.
I got home at 2:30.
I got home at about maybe just a little bit before 1.
Yeah, I mean, that lemonade, it keeps you up.
It does. It gets you going like Milo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we discussed a bit on the show today. We had story time for the group. How do you think we went in that challenge?
It was pretty good, I think. I gave it the best go I could, but what did you guys think? I was the one telling it, and it just kind of happened around me.
Yeah, look, you were the lyrics and we were trying to be the music in a sense of just adding silly sounds in the background. I think you did a wonderful job.
Oh, you guys chimed in at the right time too.
We tried.
We had Tom Denham, king of the story riff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you were on your A game this morning, Denham. That's a good one from you, Denham.
No, you
did very well. Yeah, I thought it was good. And you know, it's good when my laugh gets super high pitched.
Yeah.
When my laugh gets high pitched, that I'm finding it particularly amusing.
Now I know.
So credit to you.
Oh, thank you so
much. And everyone that knows you.
We also had a game that we were meant to play this week, but it's been moved to next week.
Yeah, that's right. Look, we dropped the bombshell on everybody that someone's going to get their beard shaved off.
Three of us are wearing beards.
Yeah, I know. And some know how to wear it better than others. So you two are ahead of me. I just make it up.
You've got quite a nice beard too.
You've got a nice beard.
It's a bit patchy.
You could say it's nice grown on you.
Yeah. Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, someone's going to lose it. You know what? I reckon that let's take this further. Not only are you going to lose your beard, you have to get a haircut as well.
I just had a haircut last week.
Yeah. To be quite honest.
Well, I desperately need a haircut. You know, it's funny. I
You're just thinking about yourself here, Ben.
I know. I've got to stop doing that. I don't know about Blake because he's beanies always on. So I don't know how much hair he's got under
there.
To
be quite honest, if I had to get my beard shaved, I'd probably want to get a haircut as well.
But it fits.
Back to the beanie. Last week, I met up with a friend for the first time, and they had a beanie on, and I never knew what their hair looked like. And then they took their beanie off, and then I...
What the hell is that? They took their beanie off, yes.
And I saw what looked at first... like a ponytail, but no, it was a mullet that was just tied up. It was a really long mullet.
Mm.
I don't know whether that made it better or worse.
Yeah, see, my hair can actually get to the mullet stage. If I keep growing it longer,
yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it looks as ridiculous as it should.
I reckon you could pull it off. Yeah.
Who knows? Well, I walked into one of my favorite Chinese restaurants the other day, and the guys just looked at me and they go, oh my God, are you okay? They're like, are you stressed? And I went, why? They're like, you haven't... What's going on there? They're like, you're too woolly. I said, excuse me.
You're winter woolly.
Yeah, I know. Warm. I know. Anyway.
Having said that, though, I get a haircut probably every month, once a month.
Oh, that's a little excessive, isn't it?
No, no. It keeps it trim. It keeps me streamlined.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it works for you. Yeah. Are you ever going to do your full shave again? I remember you were doing that once.
No, I've done that twice now. I guess it depends on the mood and the weather. Probably not for a while.
Sure. Dion, how often do you get a haircut?
Oh, look, not often, actually, Ben. It's probably about time, to be honest. Like, I mean, when you're talking about getting a haircut yourself, I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest with you, because I think you're approaching full mullet stage.
Yeah, I know.
I think you should embrace
it. The problem is, it just gets more thick at the top, right, and it just starts getting like afro-like.
You're like Grizzly Adams now, you know.
Yeah, which I'm so
like
jealous
a mountain
of those.
Man, you know,
so jealous of those people that belong have that beautiful, that beautiful long hair. You know, those guys that get that really nice long hair. It looks
that's
like
because they conditioned.
In a L'Oreal commercial or something.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, because I just want to do one of those windmills and like my hair starts hitting people in the eye. And
you whip your hair back and forth. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, we're harkening back to some scary memories there. Oh,
hey, Dion, did you bring us our food?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Very
liquidy food, actually. Thank you.
I was just about to say, all of a sudden, the waiter's just sat down. He's just joining us, like at the restaurant.
He just had that buzz about
us. He's getting swept up in the conversation.
The thing is, Tom was painting such a vivid painting of this story that I felt like I had to be involved. You know, I bought a few pints of Sprite and look, I'm ready to go. You know,
yeah,
like,
he's ready to go. Yeah. We're all ready to go.
Ready and roaring.
Yep, yeah, feel. You know, it's like it's pretty early in the morning, but I'm feeling it today. You know, you boys have just really woken me up.
Oh, I'm glad.
Look, this time I'm never. You know, it's like I roll out of bed and I feel as close to dead as humanly possible. But here I am. You know, I'm feeling it.
It is an ungodly hour of the morning. And like when you try to tell people, yeah, I'm on the radio. Oh, cool. What time? And you're like 6 till 9. Like,
oh, goodness.
It's kind of if they're not driving to work, they ain't going to be listening to you.
They'll be listening to the podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah,
they'll be hearing
absolutely.
Us right now.
Yeah, for sure. We also, this morning on the program, had an interview with Zach Saber.
That was good
which
fun.
Which was very nice of him to join us.
Thank you, Zach.
Definitely talking about his song, Soak Up the Sun. And it was wicked. I heard it prior to the show, and it was very nice to hear about the songwriting process and some of the struggles, you know, he has, and you know, being a perfectionist trying to release the best kind of music. Tom, what was your takeaway from that discussion?
Yeah, it was really interesting to see what his creative process was and how he kind of handled things, and the way he just I guess delivered himself says that he's a really well equipped muso, and I'm really looking forward to hearing his new music.
Yeah, it'll be great. And he also mentioned that one of the three dream artists he'd like to be with is on a tour with his John Butler Trio. I can see Cereal, I can see Tom, I can see Bram and Dion's film. I'll stop. Good.
You're scaring everyone in the restaurant.
I'm scaring all the kids. Yeah, that's right.
Everyone in the restaurant's looking at us. The piano player's stopped.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, you know, we might as well get into the show that we just heard. And we're going to hear it now in the podcast version. So this is Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. What a fun 3 hours it was.
Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for joining in the podcast. And if you want to reach out to us, tune in to us on Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat.
See you next week.
Yeah, we'll catch you next week. It's going to be good fun.
And we're going to enjoy this food. Yeah. And this Sprite.
And I'm going to enjoy Sydney. Woohoo! Woo. Thank you. Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Hello! Youth of Melbourne.
G'day, how's it going?
Morning, morning, morning. Morning, 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 morning.
You're listening to Get Serial Tuesdays on Sin. My name's Bram.
My name's Tom.
My name's Ben. Hello.
And we're Get Serial Tuesdays.
Yes, we indeed
we
are.
We totally are.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is, what, week 9 now?
Yeah.
And here we
They're
are.
They're flying by like flies.
And they, yeah. These mornings, for whatever reason, seem to be getting easier now.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just deliriousness or if they're actually getting easier.
Yeah. You know, the hard part of it is, though, is trying to go to bed on time the night before.
Mm. You know what? The funny thing is, I don't know how my body clock works. I finish work at about 10 or 10:30. I'm crashing at my friend's place and I get there by 11. We chat for a good hour. I get to sleep by 12. And I wake up at maybe, what, like 4, 4.30, but her dog was barking this morning, so I was like, oh, I'll wake up at 3.30. So I don't know how I do it.
I feel like
I felt sorry for the dog, though.
I feel like for the past few weeks, for most of the show, I've been getting into the rhythm of, sleep at around maybe 10 or 11-ish, like a grandma, and then wake up at 4 or 4.30, totally not like a grandma.
That's your routine. My routine is 9 o'clock, and then I'm up at 3:30.
Yikes!
And I'm trying to think.
I would do that normally if I was at home.
Right. I'm trying to think of ways to save myself just every minute, like get a few extra minutes of sleep. So maybe I'll just sleep in my clothes, and then I can kind of just pull off the covers, and be like, "Good morning, let's go." Maybe not.
But the past couple of weeks, I've found that my sleep cycle has been so messed up that it has been a better decision for me to just not go to sleep, which has happened today.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Hi. The last time that I slept was Sunday evening. Help me.
The funny thing was last week, I did the early show with Julia, which meant I was on air an hour before what was normal. And I crashed my friend's place just around the corner from here. And I had work quite late that night until about maybe 11. And I got to this friend's place and I was like, I hadn't seen him in ages. So I was like, hey, how are you? And like before I knew it, I looked at the clock and I was like, 2 o'clock. And I thought, I better get some sleep. So I had an hour.
Wow.
I had an hour and I got here and I just blitzed it.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Jeez, yeah.
And I went straight to work after
Although, to be fair, you did look a little bit tired last week. I could see it. I could see it in your eyes. But your performance was still there.
Oh, do I look tired right now?
Can I be truthful?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think you do. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably a little bit more than weeks past, but, you know there's nothing wrong with that. I've only got a camera here today. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not like there's someone recording us here in the studio.
Absolutely not, yeah.
You know you're tired when you... Have you ever had that sensation, or is it just me? We're not tired, people of Melbourne and Australia. But,
That's what we've been told to say.
Have you ever had that feeling? Hit us up on the socials as well. And hit us up on our socials. I'm Instagram Sir Tom of Denham.
Just your Instagram. Not anybody else's, apparently.
You guys can tune in as well.
Right.
Do you have Instagram, Bram?
Yeah, I do. Bram _P. And my Twitter handle is also the same. I officially changed my Facebook name over the weekend to Bram Stoker.
I saw that.
Yeah, so, you'll have to explain that.
That'll be for later on the show.
Yeah, a story for another time.
Yeah.
I don't have Instagram, and the problem is my sister and everyone hassles me to get it.
Hashtag BetGammon.
Do it.
Get Ben on Instagram.
Yeah, it's just another thing I have to check.
But anyway, let's get to the point. No, it gets fun.
Yeah, so Bram, what are we discussing throughout the show this morning?
Okay,
anyway,
so
what I was trying to say before, the reason why we were talking about socials, hit us up. Have you ever had that feeling when you're tired, when you feel like your eyes are going to fall out of your head like marbles, or you're just beyond that point where, like, reality is a dream? Have you ever reached that state of fatigue? Hit us up on the socials. That's why we spoke about the socials in the first place.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. For this hour and for the show as a whole, we're going to be talking about our favorite hobbies as a child. We're going to be playing a game, an improv game, and we're going to be talking about memorable stuff from last weekend. And tune into next week's show, because this time next week, one of us will not have a beard. You heard it first.
Wait, what? Wait, hang on, what?
Someone has put a game Someone has, you know, put a game... someone's planned a game for later on the show.
Sure.
And whoever loses this game has to shave their beard off.
Well, I think it's time for one of us to...
I was looking at myself.
Someone has to go clean in this group.
This is pretty high stakes.
Someone's going to come out clean and they're going to get all the people that they like.
That's right. Mm. It's going to all be happening here this morning. For now, we're just going to go to a track. Let's hit it. I want to hear it. Let's get that cereal ready. Let's get it pumping. Sin. 90.7 Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Brad.
Mm.
Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land on which the House of Sin and Studios stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. Sin also acknowledges and pays respect to the elders and traditional owners of the land our content reaches, as well as the radio stations we broadcast from across the country.
You're listening to Sin 90.7. That song was Katie Steele, Everywhere With You. And the last song before that was Streetlights by Kanye West. Fellas, you got a topic for us. Ben?
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Producer Blake. Yes, absolutely. We've got a topic to talk about, and it's hobbies or toys that you very much enjoyed as a child. I'll go first.
Yep.
I used to get, like, these really small wrestler figures, and I used to pick them up and slam them. I had, like, a fake plastic ring.
Mm.
And then, you know, my mum would have to go down to the shops every 5 seconds to return them because all the legs or the arms would be broken off them and so forth. And it's really weird, like, down the line, I've met some of these people in real life. And, you know, I don't really want to tell them, like, yeah, I used to slam your action figure down. That's right. And the other one was... you know, I always loved the Imaginex. You'd build your castles, you'd build your pirate ships. And I remember my friend got the pirate ship and I went over to his house Ben, do you want to meet our new dog, Molly? I was like, stuff Molly. I just want to play. Oh, wow, is that a new pirate ship? Like that was kind of where my head was at that point. Bram.
So this is something that like I feel like was far more niche than any other kid really got into. But I used to have this really... I guess, like, this really big obsession with drawing maps.
That's cool.
And I would fill books full of just maps of just the most random places that I had in my head.
Were they places that you invented?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would spend most of my lunch times doing this because I was a fairly, I guess, insular kid. I was a bit of an introvert at the time. Didn't have many people that I hung out with. So, yeah, it was sort of the perfect... It was actually the perfect thing for me to get into as a kid. Yeah.
Nice. Maps, I would never have picked that.
Was there something like a specific toy that you had that you always cherished?
Oh, that's a good question.
it can be anything, it's too.
Nothing that I can really recall from my childhood days.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nothing that I can really recall.
If we harken back to last week, his Game Boy Advance.
Oh, yeah. Was that in colour?
I was actually pretty big on the video games as a kid. I was massively into Need for Speed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good game. I was a car boy.
Ooh, look at that. And not a Hot Wheels boy.
No. Actually, yeah. Boy. Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Or Matchbox.
I think it was definitely Hot Wheels.
We're kind of trawling through his brain here.
We're sifting through the filing cabinet.
Yeah. Tom, I always want to know what was some of your hobbies as a child and some of your toys that you cherished.
I think mine is no surprise, and this is an interesting one now, and I'll tell you why in a moment. I have always, ever since I was engrossed with Thomas the Tank Engine, had an affinity for any kind of train set.
Mm.
Just the idea of like building it and making it this massive thing is there's such a kind of process in the building part of that, and that was my favorite part of making a train set, like deciding where your tracks were going to go and where your station was going to be and where your tracks were going to lie out.
Just so much choice.
Yeah.
It'd almost make you go mad, wouldn't it?
It does. And I remember... I think it was in grade 2, you came over one time and we just opened the doors of my bedroom.
I remember.
And you went, wow.
Yeah, and not just that. I'd never seen so much Harry Potter Lego on someone's coffee table before.
Yeah. And we reenacted crazy. The whole of the Chamber of the Secrets.
that's right. Even the bit where she says sherbet lemons.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I thought about this a little while ago because I almost came to a time where I thought, am I going to sell this stuff? And I'm so glad that I didn't because I've come to that point in my life where I've decided I'm going to have kids. Not straight away, but probably by the time I hit my 30s.
Now, was that like a show exclusive? You just walked in the studio this morning. I'm going to have kids? No.
No. Okay. but I decided, yeah, probably in my 30s I'm going to have kids. But I decided to keep the trains. I've locked them away just under the basement. And they're going to be passed down to them when they're at that right age.
To Tom Denham Jr.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be so self-centered.
Yeah.
Probably something more like, I don't know, Samuel. That's a good name.
Fair enough. Well, the music just keeps rolling on here this morning. You're joining us here on Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. I want to hear it. Let's get the cereal ready.
You're going to King Cruel. Check one. Ah, the smooth sounds of King Cruel. That was check one. You're listening to Sin 90.7 Get Cereal with Ben, Tom and Bram.
I just want to say something. Do you, like, does it make sense to any of you when I say that, like, how a person looks like doesn't make sense with, like, the music they make?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I
kind of get
that sense from King Cruel, but it's not, like, in a sort of, like, bad or sinister way. It's just like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time when you listen to any radio show too, you just hear this person's voice and you get this image of what this person must look like, and then you see them and go, whoa!
Yeah.
I mean, it's not always. Not always, but yeah.
It's funny because we do a lot of talking, and we do a lot of talking with our faces and with our hands, and it's very expressive. But the listener, dear listener, you don't get to see that, which is quite funny.
That's right. Like when you were singing Britney Spears a couple of weeks ago.
It was all in the eyebrows.
You were standing up, your arms were moving, and it was a full-on performance.
Hey, listeners, send us drawings of what you think we look like while we're talking in the studio.
Hit us up on the socials, on Facebook, Instagram.
And hit Tom up on his socials.
And hit Bram up on his socials, and Ben's going to get Instagram too.
Yeah, hit Blake up as well.
Yeah, eventually I will. Now, Tom, you had a little game for us here on air this morning.
I do indeed. It's become a tradition on our Get Cereal Tuesdays that we play a drama game or an improvisation game.
Yep. Never too early in the morning.
And yeah. This game, it doesn't really have a name, but we've kind of donned it the word political game. So what we go around in a circle. And basically, the aim of the game is to, you want to make a bold statement that you feel like someone important, like a politician, would make. And once we feel the sentence has come to its natural conclusion, we all just bow our heads and go, yes, 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 to acknowledge what has been said. It's like a one-word story.
Oh, okay.
So, let's practice. I'll start with a word. If I say make
my
tea.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, you're just a bunch of yes men, are you?
That's what that reminds me of. Okay, cool.
Okay, Ben, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, complete.
This
wonderful
sentence.
Yes.
So remember, imagine.
I think it's going very, very well.
Imagine a politician is saying this. Imagine the new Prime Minister of Australia saying this.
Who is he again? No, just kidding. Scott Morrison, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Peter.
Peter who?
Scott Morrison.
Oh.
I thought you were about to say someone else.
Yeah. All right, let's give it another try.
Okay, do you want to start us off, Bram?
Yeah, sure. Bring
more.
Weather
to
my
home.
Yes.
Okay, I'll start us off with one more.
Okay.
Cool.
Right.
Fact.
Check.
Please.
Yes.
Well, can I have one more?
Yeah, sure.
This
is
my
utterly
stupid
finger.
Yes.
Wow, there you go. Where did you learn that game from, Tom?
I learned that from a drama workshop where we were practicing leadership skills. And what we like to do with our leadership teams is we like to each semester introduce a new collection of games so they can take to their youth theatres that they run. And that was the one, I think a couple of years ago, that was introduced to us.
So how proud are you that it made the 6 o'clock hour of the show?
Ben, I am chuffed as chips.
I'm so glad about it, Tom. Now, Tom, you got another song for us. We're about to play it. What do you got?
We've got Season Swim, Flicker. You're listening to Sin 90.7 Get Serial, Ben, Tom and Bram.
Quality Radio.
What a wonderful song that was. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Get Serial with Ben, Tom and Bram. It is 6:38 in the morning. Hello. Thank you for joining us. Fellas, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Pretty good.
The morning's rolling along, having fun. Good stuff.
Mm. Rolling along like a steamroller who's a little bit excited.
I'm pretty sure I saw this band in year 10 at a show in Northcote. Yeah.
And they were that good that did you ever get to see them again?
No, but this was like...
But you saw them and that's the main thing.
This was during a phase in my life when I was very specifically into this time of music. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that I saw them at a show in Northcote when I was in year 10, would have been 4 years ago now.
There you go. Shout out to our producer, Blake, for bringing the jams this morning.
Shout out for the nostalgia trip.
There we go. Let's talk about the weekend just gone. Let's have a chat about this. Let's have a chat about what we got up to. Are there any memorable stories? Tom, we're going to start with you.
I have a memorable story. It's become a tradition in a friendship group of mine that... once a year, or maybe twice a year if we're feeling a little partial, we plan this at the start of the year. We like to go on a steam train trip, and there's this group in Victoria called Steam Rail, and what they do, they commandeer the Metro and V-Line train lines, and they chuck a couple of steam engines on there, and we go... like to all sorts of places. Our first trip was in was from Southern Cross to Geelong, and we did one last year. But this year we decided to go from Southern Cross to Castlemaine to Maldon, which was great fun because we travelled behind. We left Southern Cross at 8:30 in the morning.
Mm.
We travelled behind two steam trains. And we went at like 130 kilometers per hour. It was the best thing ever. And then we stopped at Gisborne and Kyneton, and then we made our way eventually to Castlemaine. And then we jumped onto the VGR, which is the Victorian Goldfields Railway, and went from Castlemaine to Maldon. We spent some time in Maldon. I had some lunch there, had some lemonade. It was good fun.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
If this is the steam train that I think you're talking about, I'm pretty sure that I've seen it before. I've seen it, I think I saw it maybe 3 months ago.
The one in my profile picture?
Probably. I think so. I remember seeing this train. I'm remembering a lot of things today.
It's a big black K-class engine.
Yeah, because this would have been back when I lived in Sunshine.
Yeah.
And with the route that the train that you're talking about takes, that would go past the station that I used to take to get into the city.
Yeah.
And I saw this steam train just out of nowhere, and it was wild.
It's funny because, like... it takes everyone by surprise, like,
when you're just in
the city or you're just, like, in your hometown and you're like, oh, yeah, a metropolitan train goes past and there's a steam train.
Yes, yeah.
Everyone just, like, stops and looks acknowledges it.
This one was actually stationary at Sunshine Station and taking passengers there, so it was a bit of, like, a what-the-heck moment for me.
Yeah.
You know, if there's one mistake I keep making on this show, it's bringing up something and then asking Tom to say his thoughts on it first, because what he's done is so much more exciting than mine, but it kind of relates to him. So, you went on trains all week long, weekend long.
It was a day trip. It was a big trip.
And I met your girlfriend, I guess, is what I did on the weekend. So, yeah, you-
She didn't even get
a mention on your weekend, but that's all fair. It's a joke, Tom.
It was a good party. We had lots of lemonade.
It was a good party. It was a party of meeting all these friends' girlfriends. I can't work it out. I met your girlfriend. I met good old Mitch. I met his girlfriend in... both lovely people.
Yeah.
We all had a bit of fun, plenty of laughs, no tears, which is always good. Yes, Tom?
You have heard on radio, you've spoken to her on the phone, what was the verdict in person?
Oh, lovely person. Got on very, very well.
Oh, good to hear.
There's a camera in my face. She was very, very nice.
Let me just say, Ben, that you are very safe. You're a very safe distance from my boyfriend, who's currently in Italy and is there for 6 months.
Your boyfriend's in Italy?
Yeah, he's on exchange. Yeah, he's on exchange.
We should like call him up and
we should fly to Bologna.
Tom's phone bill is so expensive. Mm,
yeah, yeah.
Oh gosh.
I have a very memorable story from the weekend. It wasn't a going out story. It was more of a staying in and being on my phone story, but it was very memorable. So I ended up thirst following someone on Twitter.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. And about a day later, ran into them on a dating app and, you know, just sort of started the conversation casually with a, hey, how's your weekend? And then he replied with a, hey, oh, it wasn't too bad. And then I just out of the blue, kind of like a truck that hits you, just went, oh, I thirst followed you on Twitter a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it's always bizarre.
And what made this even wilder was the fact that he actually screenshotted this conversation that we had and posted it on Twitter.
Ooh, that's a little...
No. It was totally fine. I'm totally okay with this. I like being other people's social media content.
My friend...
for all the viewers out there, that was a bit of a hint.
My friend a little while ago got Tinder.
Yeah.
She thought this was a good idea. Angel's at work and... you know how you get matches and you swipe left, you swipe right.
Yeah, yeah.
She swiped, she was added by Bacon, someone who was posting as Bacon, and she was like, oh, hey, how are you? And Bacon was like, oh, good, I'm just sizzling in a pan. It's not doing much, just cooking away. And this conversation goes on forever and ever.
Yeah.
And her boss comes over and goes, what are you doing? And she goes, okay, I got to be honest, just have a read of this conversation I've had for the past hour. And she's like, waiting for the worst, and her boss just like laughs in hysterics and goes, you're hilarious, and just walks off.
didn't even remotely care that she was doing the wrong thing.
No. Nah.
Yeah. But we're going to do the right thing here, aren't we, Tom?
We are. Mm. We are feeling needy, just like the needy bees.
Get Cereal Tuesday. Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. Three excellent tracks there, Miss Blank's Clap Clap. A bit of Needy Bees as well, and Confidence Man, I Need Some Bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
Bubblegum. So, this happened yesterday. This was so strange. There's such an awkwardness when somebody has a dinner or a get-together or a party, and it's around, like, it's meant to be a function for people at the workplace.
Mm. Yeah.
And yet, some people weren't invited. And then those people that weren't invited find out that people are going to something that's on that night. Yeah.
Do they turn up and go, oh, yeah, I work here?
No, I don't think they turn up because it's kind of rude to do so, isn't it? So,
But if you work there, I guess you have an entitlement, well, unless it's an unofficial thing.
Yeah, it was kind of just like that he was just inviting a few people to catch up.
Okay, so it's unofficial. Okay.
Yeah, it was like he was leaving and a few people were going to just attend a nice little dinner for him. And a few staff members found out and went, what? They weren't too happy about it. So, have you ever experienced anything like that where you've kind of had to keep a bit of a secret, keep something hush-hush?
Yeah, look, I've worked in big and small workplaces where with staff exits and you want to celebrate that person, you want to do that in the best way possible and respect whatever boundaries and parameters they give. And I know when a good friend of mine left work last year, we just had a small lunch and a cup of coffee and that was all we needed. It wasn't a big bonanza or anything. And that's been the same for a few people. And we've just respected that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, everyone's going to have their own plans. At times, you know, you can't be invited to everything.
No.
You just can't. You're not that likable. I'm saying it in general. I'm saying you.
Oh, thanks, Ben. I appreciate that.
Bram.
It's really weird because in my 5 years of having a job, I can't really recall a time like this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I just realized, yeah. I think people just hate feeling left out of things.
Mm. Yeah, I feel that sensation.
Yeah, especially when you're in a collective group that you know, essentially all do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's a bit of a clique, is it? Or it's a bit of an elitist club.
It's beginning of every Disney film that the main character's left out and they feel like, well, what about me? And then they or go into self-discovery journey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Katie in Mean Girls at the beginning of the movie when she's looking around, when she's, you know, sussing out the high school. Yeah. Anyways, we will be heading over to the news.
After a song, the news with April is coming up after a quick track. After
Electric guest back for me. You're listening to Sin 90.7 Get Through with Ben, Tom and Bram. Eat those cornflakes.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Cereal!
Good morning, Melbourne. Hello, welcome to Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bram. Hello, fellas. How are you doing?
Hello, morning. Gee, we're loud this morning.
It is 7:03 and 54 seconds, and oh my goodness, we're having a wonderful day so far. We've talked about many things, like memorable things on the weekend. I rode on a steam train. Ben went to a party, and Bram does what Bram does. He's on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we were looking towards the future here on Get Cereal. In the next hour, we're going to talk about embarrassing things we've done to win over someone. Ben discusses the US Open's women's final controversy. And what the flippity hoppity flop did I dream about last night? All things we're going to talk about. But also, ladies and gentlemen, two exciting things coming up in the show. We are having a competition. All three of us are at stake. And the thing on the chopping block, we are all wearing pretty luxurious beards. One of us is going to walk out today without one.
Oh, maybe not today. We get at least a week.
We have until next week's show.
Can next week, one of us is not going to have a beard.
Correct. Yeah, perfect.
And the other exciting thing, last week, we did a rap battle between all of the Sin Goat Cereal morning teams.
Absolutely, we did.
And this week, we're doing a storytime battle. So, Monday did a pretty good job with their toast story. We're going to hear from Rami pretty soon, and he is going to let us know what our topic is. We also have an interview with none other than Muso Zach Sabre. So tune into that at about 8:30 this morning. But for now, I'm feeling like a little bit of a drum. You're listening to Drum by Mo. You're listening to Get Cereal 90.7 with Ben, Tom and Bram.
Lord, perfect places.
I
love a little bit of Lord here. She's been quite a regular.
Bit of a staple on the Sin Waves.
Yeah, she's quite the queen bee. So that was a bit of a throwback to one of her first ever songs, Royals. But
nothing but respect for my president.
Absolutely.
Wait, hang on. Was that off the first album? I thought that song's off the second.
No, this is off of Melodrama. That was
off the Royals, newest one.
We're
getting more confused.
No.
I was referring to Royals when she says you can be my queen bee.
Oh,
correct.
My God.
I thought you were referring to the track that just played was off the first
No, I was referring
and
to one
really
of the
isn't all that
ones.
Important, so we should probably move on.
Anyway, you're listening to Get Cereal 90.7 with Ben, Tom and Bram. We're having a wonderful morning here this morning. But, fellas, Ben's got a topic for us that he would like to introduce.
Yeah, for sure. I want to know if anyone has ever done anything a little embarrassing to try to win someone over. And Tom's got this look in his eyes. So I'm going to shoot it to him.
Last year, so I used to work in a school, and we had a, student teacher on placement, and I knew of them, like they were mutual friends, and I knew them through people, and, I thought she was pretty nice, like, and I knew I was kind of in the place where I couldn't really do anything about it, but I was, walking to class and, students were going, "Oh, good morning, Mr. Denham." I was going, "Good morning, guys." And I saw her in the library. And I saw another teacher there who knows me quite well outside of the school context. And I saw her and I decided, I should wave and give the smile. And she waved and gave me the smile. And so I waved even more. But I was walking. And what I didn't realize is that I was about to run into a window.
Oh, no.
And this one teacher who knows me quite well outside of the school context saw this scenario and he just laughed out loud. He thought it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And later on that day, I was heading to the staff room for lunch and he goes, "Oh, Tom, do you want to chat for a moment?" And we just go and sit down on a chair. And I think he's going to bring this up, but we ended up talking about something else, so I didn't need to worry about it ever again.
Oh, that's okay. So you had that kind of burning suspicion that it was all going to
crop up.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to get asked about it.
And, yeah. Oh. But no, it's in the past, and that stays in the past.
Exactly. Yeah, I think for me personally, I just get, like, overly jokey, like, to the point of... Well, it can work either way. It can be like I'm on fire and every joke's hitting and it's funny, or it's just like, stop it, you're embarrassing yourself. See, I'm kind of in between there. Bram.
I feel like this is less me doing something embarrassing in the then and that, well, in the there and then, and more just like in retrospect. And even then, it's like not really depressing, but it's just sort of more like depressing. Well, right. Embarrassing, but it's more depressing.
Yeah. Okay. A bit of melodrama.
Yeah.
Bit of Bold and the Beautiful.
They told you this was melodrama.
Mm.
Anyways, so this. This one actually goes out to my ex. Shout out to him. There was a very sort of, I guess, brief period of time, maybe a month or so, when we would handwrite letters to each other. And I actually still have... Well, they're actually not... They're not at home. They're at my parents' house. The letters just in my drawer.
Oh, really?
And... I don't know. It's just, it feels really weird to have them now.
It does. It feels weird when you read over things like that.
Yeah, well, it's sort of now that, like, my ties with him are, you know, officially cut off and whatever, it feels weird to just have them in a space that's mine.
Would you ever revisit them and just open up the mail and go, oh, yeah.
Probably.
But there's not really any good that can come from that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It was sort of, yeah, yeah.
It's always interesting to see, like, what your thought process was at the time and what you do for that person.
Yeah.
Funny story. When I was in year 12, so when I was 18, I was having a bad day on the weekend. Mm. I went to a function and I got the dates wrong. It was the day before. It was on a school day, so I couldn't even be there. But for some reason, I thought it was on the Saturday. And I went back.
I'm sorry, you got the dates and the time wrong for something?
I did.
I don't believe what I'm hearing.
And I went back to the station to catch my train, and I missed my train. Like, it was a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
And there was this young lady who I thought was rather nice. And I thought, okay. And I was just kind of waiting around for my train. And, like, the minutes were ticking down. And for some reason, I just found myself waiting in the bus bay rather than the train station area. And, like, there was 2 minutes to go before the train. I was like, you know what? YOLO, stuff it. And I said to her, like, you seem nice. Do you want my number? And she's like, yeah,
what?
Okay. And you've met this person.
Yeah,
Ben.
I have. I actually did meet this person. And, yeah, she was all for her, wasn't she?
Yeah, and we're still friends to this day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
5 years on.
It's just a random stranger on the train station.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Is that the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
Possibly.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny that we still maintain this friendship since, that we still catch up for coffee here and there. And we see past that. Like, that was a kind of funny thing that happened when we were moody and teenagers and in high school. But yeah, it's, I don't know.
It was
a weird
fate.
Way to start a friendship.
It was fate. Fate brought you together.
Fate did bring us together.
Oh. Very nice. Well, off to another song, because simply why not? We've got to get this party started. It's Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7.
I think you need to give me a reason. This is Give Me a Reason by Jaguar Ma. You're listening to Sin 90.7. Thanks, April. One of the things we chatted about this morning is when you've had some kind of embarrassing moment. It could be any form or like any kind of situation, but have you ever had an embarrassing moment?
I think everybody's had an embarrassing moment.
One that comes to mind for you?
Oh, it's hard to think of them. I think I'm one of those people who tries really hard to push any embarrassing moment out of my memory. Mm. If something happens, I just refuse to think about it until I make myself believe that I've forgotten it happened.
Until you ask on live radio.
I haven't got one right off the top of my head.
That's fair.
Yeah. Now, I'm gonna keep those secret.
Well, you mentioned the dog in there that's been trained for dental therapy. I've read quite
into this a bit because I've done a little bit of work in education, and I think having dogs as therapy, particularly for kids on the spectrum, in that kind of a lower end primary area, is quite fascinating. What's your view on it?
I think it's great. I'm a big animal fan in general, and especially dogs, and I've heard a lot of stories about all the good that they bring to people, and I think it's really cool. Like, I think, like, assistance dogs and things like that, it's so incredible the things you can teach a dog to do and how helpful they can be to people. So yeah, I think it's great. I think they should bring it in more.
Absolutely.
I've actually got something to add to this. So one of my housemates currently has a service dog. They've got it for a range of things that they experience. And it's actually really moving to see how having this dog with them has a positive impact on them. And on top of that, it's generally, well, the way that they described the sort of dynamic to me was that both the service dog and them are very, like, codependent on each other. So the dog has its own needs and its own, I guess, battles that it that it's got. I think I remember my housemate mentioning that the service dog has anxiety himself. So it's very much a, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And I know there's something really sweet about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love my household.
We currently have a guide dog in training, and it's been lovely having her. But recently, my parents went away, and the dog had to go to a secondary care, if you like, while they were away. And in that time, they got to visit quite a young kid who was partially blind, and he was going to be blind. And when he met this puppy, it was the happiest day of his life. It was the first time he laughed in a long time. So it's really nice, like, hearing stories like that. Cool. So we're going to head to another song. This is Ray Guns. You're listening to Sin 90.7 Get Serial with Ben, Tom and Bram.
Just while we're crying in the studio.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. We're looking after you for your drive to work this morning. We trust you very well. Yeah, that's right. So, track was called Vessel. And, man, this is going to be insane, isn't it, Bram? We got some big things to talk about here.
Big things. Big things.
That's right.
Big gaming.
Yes.
Too much gaming.
Too much gaming.
How much is too much?
Yeah.
How much is too much?
How much, Tom, video games, they're becoming a bit of an issue in our society in the sense that people are just getting so badly addicted. And look, I'm a gamer. I have too many consoles to even name. And I play a lot of games, but I think some people are just getting completely and utterly addicted. They don't even leave the house anymore.
My parents were always, I don't think against gaming, but they were very casual about it. We never really had a console. We had a PlayStation at one point and a Sega Genesis before that. But anything after that, we didn't really have until my step brothers and sisters came along and we had a PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
But it was very much like if I go over to a friend's house and they were a big gamer, like, I might join in with a couple of games here and there because it was a novelty.
Like, yeah, it was something a little different. Yeah,
we didn't really have that as a second trade or anything like that. But I do know people as friends who have really struggled with this have struggled to maintain some kind of repertoire or just weekly regime, and gaming becomes all-consuming fire that becomes the most important thing in their world.
Yeah, I think now also, I don't know if you've heard of esports, it's essentially professional gaming now, and it is streamed and there's commentary. It's like sports, but it's video games. And the thing that really strikes me as odd is all the kids that enter those competitions are, like, insanely skinny. And yet they don't really,
they don't,
like,
eat.
Mate, I was thinking that. You reckon they skip meals? And they
either
just,
that, or they're just not getting enough proteins. Or
yeah, they all look like they haven't been too outside.
It is really weird because I get the sense from just what I've heard that a lot of people who are in esports and who do game professionally actually kind of hate it after a bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think too much of anything is horrible.
It is, yeah.
But no, my ex, who I mentioned, I'm mentioning him quite a bit
today.
Yeah,
he's on your mind this morning. I reckon you looked at those letters that you mentioned.
He had a pretty... Well, he actually still does have a pretty big gaming problem. Yeah, just from what I last remember. And because... he teaches at a secondary school. During school holidays, I'll be, you know, I would have been talking to him and stuff, and he would be on his computer gaming for pretty much the whole day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's just how it is sometimes with some people. Yeah.
I have a friend who had quite a bad addiction, and he turned his life around in a really positive way. He said, you know what? I recognize this. I'm going to sell my games so I don't have that temptation. So he sold all his games. He sold his console, and now he's tradie, and he's doing really well.
Wow, that must have hurt him so badly at the time.
It would have been so hard to do. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine or fathom going through that, because it's like, I don't know, like... As I said, I'm very casual, but it'd be like a part of your body almost, cutting off a limb.
Especially if it did grow to that stage.
It was really interesting. They had like a recent A Current Affair piece on video game addiction. I know. Let's take it with a grain of salt. But a grain of sand, rather. No?
A grain of salt is when you have to kind of wonder about whether it's true or not.
Right.
Well, my free-
that word, Ben.
One of my teachers you're more correct than one of my teachers, who uses the expression they won't know you from a bar of salt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wrong.
Instead of saying a bar of soap.
Yeah. Yeah. Where I was going with this on the A Current Affair piece, they had this medical professional dude, and he was talking about-
Doctor?
He was talking about Fortnite.
That's what they're called.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. He majored in some certain field, but it's not important. He mentioned Fortnite and how it's a free game, and it's got all these little- thing like rewards and trophies
and kids who play Fortnite.
And he was like, and he said this great line. He goes, "It's like cocaine going off in their brain when you like unlock new items and all this silly nonsense." Yes, Tom.
However, this is nothing new. Like, I'm gonna make it a little bit of a cheeky throwback, but one of the characters in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Mike TV, his character trope and identity is that he's addicted to video games and TV.
Yeah.
And that book was written in like the 60s
or thereabouts. Yeah. Nothing's changed.
It's nothing new, but it's still such a growing problem.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit more widespread now. I think they're just so readily available, and now they're free. People don't have to pay for them. So anyway, it's getting a little out of control.
Yeah. It's scary when you kind of look at the whole Pokemon Go thing that happened, because like people were like running into things and like just
almost dying. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Almost letting blood. Oh, blood by the Middle East. Yeah. You're listening to Sin Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bram. Ah!
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Cereal!
Hey now! Welcome,
hey now!
Welcome back!
You're a rock star.
To Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bram. 8 o'clock. Hope you're well. Trust you're good and all that kind of thing.
I'm well, Ben.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, Tom. At least someone is. No, I'm good as well.
Good to hear.
Plenty happening for the final hour of the program. We're going to talk about what makes a good life mentor and what kind of skills can we bring to younger people as well. Also, we're going to play a game where someone's going to lose and it's going to mean that someone has to shave their beard off. Now, that's not going to happen over the air because that would just be a bit bizarre, but maybe it can next week, perhaps. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Maybe we can do that. Anyway, we'll have a think.
We'll get the barber in.
No, we'll get the winner to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Sounds good. And finally, interview with Zach Sabre as well, which is going to be very, very cool. And it's going to be story time at 8:30 because we're in a competition with all the other teams.
Improvised story time. It's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good fun. Plenty happening. Let's go to a song. Yes, Tom?
Ben, I got a question. Do you want my love?
Depends who it's by.
It's by the Harpoons.
I do want your love.
You're listening to Get Cereal 90.7. Do you really want my love? radio edit.
You didn't need to say the last bit. That's cool. That's awesome.
We're here on That's Main Thing.
Exactly.
And we're here on Get Serial 90.7. And we're having a thriller roller coaster ride of a morning. And we've got a jam and strawberry jam packed schedule for the next hour or so. So strap yourselves in and don't let go.
Mm, perfect. Tom, Bram.
Yeah.
What does a good life mentor kind of, well, not what they physically look like. What are their attributes? What do they require? And how can we, as young people, add our experiences and help the younger generation as well, Tom?
I can chime into this one. I've had a mentor who I regularly catch up with, and we've seen each other for the last 6 or 7 years. So, in my last year of high school, I did a vet course subject, which was a certificate in ministry and theology. And a part of that course was that we needed to have a mentor that we kept accountable with. And at first, I kind of didn't see this as, like, much of a thing. I thought, oh, yeah, it's just a box I'm ticking. But kind of, like, into the year as it was going, it became really pivotal. It's like everything that was going on in year 12 because it's such a big year.
Mm.
And at the end of the year, we thought, you know what, this is great. Let's just keep doing this because we really have we've got different personalities, but we brush off each other really well and we have really good life conversations. And he's in his 60s, so he's had a bit more experience than me, and he's been able to offer oodles of advice into my life.
Oodles and poodles?
Oodles and poodles. But he still does so today, and to him, if you're listening, I take my hat off and thank you eternally just for everything that you've provided into my life. But what I found interesting in recent years, I'm in quite a few positions of leadership through ministry and through other areas. But I've had young people approach me and ask me to be their mentor, which is quite a humbling experience. And you're not really too sure what to say the first or second time it happens. And my first instinct was to go to the people that I trust and say, what are the things that I should be, like, saying to make sure that I cover all bases?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think what you got to do is just make it come naturally. You just got to find that groove and that mojo to make it a comfortable space where that person can share themselves wholesomely.
Yeah, I think you need someone who's very honest. I think that's number one. Someone that can kind of say, look, the world won't be any different even if you're not in it. Oh, gee, that was a bit grim and morbid.
Whoa.
But no, in all seriousness, yeah, it's always nice to have someone who, you know, has that experience. They've had the tough times, they've had the good times, and they can kind of just guide you through it.
Is there someone for, like, that you, Ben?
Why is my voice going so high? That was crazy. I've got you know, a few good friends that I definitely you know, love having a bit of a chat to about these kind of things. But, you know, life's pretty cool. It's pretty cruisy.
Cool. I feel like it's also pretty important to have someone who isn't afraid to give you the old push and shove when you need it.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
As long as it's not downstairs, because that can hurt.
Unless that's part of why you want them to mentor you.
Wonderful things and all important things. We're going to go to a song.
We're going to get bigger.
Yeah, you know, when I have too many cheeseburgers, I get bigger. Do you love Nick's Worries? This is Get Serial 90.7.
Hello there.
Hello, you're listening to Get Serial with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. It's been a wonderful morning so far, and the morning is about to get even more wonderful because on the line we have Melbourne Outer East, neo-folk singer-songwriter. He's one of a kind, and he's done a lot of pops and blues and wonderful music. We've got Zach Saber on the line. Hello, Zach. How are you?
Thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, doing very well, thanks. Now, you've got a new song that you've been recording. Could you tell us about that?
So I've got a couple sort of that I've been working on the last sort of few months. It's been a long time sort of between releases for me. So, I mean, I put out my debut EP, I think it's about 2.5 years ago now. So I've been doing a lot of writing and stuff like that, and been sort of working on a couple of new songs with the intention of sort of putting together an EP. So it's sort of been the combination of, I guess, the sort of experiences I've had over the last, say probably 2 years. Basically, yeah, sort of just roughly sort of getting the studio stuff together with that, and awesome. Then it's sort of heading up on the road in about 10 days actually before I set off. So yeah, basically like the studio form of it is it's sort of slowly coming together, probably with the intention of sort of getting a few more tracks and stuff done somewhere up the East Coast, maybe somewhere like Byron Bay. So yeah.
Zach, I'm always curious with when you're writing and making these songs, how do you get to a stage where you kind of say to yourself, I think this song's finished. I think it's done.
Yeah, it's a constant point for discussion, I guess, between songwriters and creatives in general. I guess in many ways you never really perfect a song. Like it's a lot. I mean, everyone I've spoken to, and certainly myself included, really struggle with that whole getting something to a perfect stage or a finished stage. I guess you just get to a point where it's close. You know, close enough to what you envisage that it's ready for a release. So a lot of the time, I mean, I'm certainly guilty of it. I'll be writing a song and I go to put it into the studio and I just can't get it close enough that to the image in my head. And a lot of the time, you kind of just, I don't know, people put stuff out that they're not 100% happy with, or some people just scrap it. I typically end up being one of those that just, you know, if I'm not 100% happy with it, I don't want to put it out in the world. So yeah. I think that's a big part of why it's been so long between releases for me. I've got a lot of pre-production stuff or stuff I've had in a studio situation that just hasn't quite made it out the door, I guess.
And just curious, on that point, has there been some of your other tracks that you have released, if you then listen back and you've just been maybe a little self-critical in a sense and going, oh, maybe I could have done this instead of that, or...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in putting out my EP, I felt a lot of pressure at the time to get something out in the world. I mean, I was doing a lot of busking at the time, and
that's cool.
A lot of the time when you're on the street and you want something to show to people, you know, to give someone a business card doesn't really cut it. Like if people want to put you on a bill, they want to see a release and they want to see, you know, what you're capable of outside of the live situation as well. So I've certainly felt a lot of pressure to get a release out, and with that EP, I mean, inevitably there's things that you're not sort of 100% happy with, but you know, you get it to a close product, and then you know the rest is in the listener's hands, I guess.
Yeah, great.
I want to go back to you talking about the fact that you can never really get an idea or a song, I guess, perfected, because it's something that interests me as a creative myself. I'm a writer. We're sort of known for having months long, I guess, editing processes and stuff that. I guess what I want to ask is, is there any sort of method of you sort of knowing when a song isn't necessarily, I guess, complete, but it's enough to reflect what you've got in your head as the idea, or the like emotion that you want to convey?
Yeah, of course. I think it's a little bit of like a trial and tested sort of method for me, at least in terms of the writing process. So
yeah.
I'll finish writing a song or what I think is finished, and I might take it to the stage. I might play it at a gig or busking, and sometimes it's not until that stage that I'll realise, you know, what might work and what might not work about a song. Like I've certainly had songs that I thought were quite good. I played them in a live situation. And I went, you know what? I don't actually really like that so much. And I guess it's very similar with a studio. Like from a studio point of view, with me, like I'll have a song and I'll get into the studio. I might finish recording it, and it sometimes takes me like a period of time or a couple of listens or something like that. That, you know, I might finish it the next week. If I listen to it and I still like it, then that's probably a pretty good testament in my eyes. Because I think, I'm sure you're aware as well, like if you're a writer yourself, you finish something, and while you're in that sort of flow state and you're really 100% involved in the writing process, you overlook things that, you know, you might want to be more critical of.
Yeah, no.
But you're just not in that space.
No, I feel like it is interesting to see your art in a different context. It's kind of like switching a look up a bit. It's kind of like, you know, shaving a beard off or whatever.
Yeah, exactly right.
Tom?
Having spoken about this and the
process that you go through. What creative process do you take, and what drives you and inspires you? And when you reach that pinnacle of excitement, what does that look like for you with your music?
As in the writing sort of sense?
In the whole process of developing it.
I guess there's a lot of different stages of it. In terms of like really being sort of heavily involved in that moment, I get a lot of that in terms of, I guess it's like an immersion. So when I'm writing, certainly I get into that sort of that flow state, and I'm just so heavily involved in it that there's sort of nothing happening. But I think it's very similar in a live situation sometimes as well.
Sure.
Just being so involved in what you're doing and feeling, you know, feeling the emotions that you've sort of written about or any of that sort of stuff. But certainly, like, the inspiration comes from a lot of different areas. Like, it's not always a personal writing process for me. It's often, you know, maybe it's world events or a book you're reading, a TV show you're watching. Like, you get involved in whatever medium it is, and certainly with the things that we consume, whether it's a TV show, like, we often have these personas sort of, you get really heavily involved in character development and stuff like that, and that can be enough to make you feel enough to write about, I guess. So it's an interesting process for me, where sort of inspiration comes from is it's very unpredictable in some ways.
That's fantastic. Zach, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people, if we're interested in finding out more about your music, where can we find out information about your song and any gigs you might have coming up?
Yep. So you can find sort of links to everything through my website, which is www.zachsaber.com. Alternatively, I'm on all social medias and all that sort of stuff. My music's up on all the musician places, Spotify, Apple Music, and all that sort of stuff. But with the dates that we're sort of working on up the coast, they'll all be sort of released through all those social media platforms as well. So I'm typically on Instagram more than most things these days. But yeah, certainly through the website is where you can find most of the links.
And we'll definitely make sure to post some links with all the tour dates on the Get Serial Facebook page as well, along with all our other social media. And Zach, one final question for you. I always like the question of, if you could be on kind of a dream bill with some other artists you definitely love, who would they be?
Ooh, that's a tough question. How many artists do I get?
let's say two or three, just a couple that would just come to mind quickly for you.
At the moment, I'm really quite obsessed with an Irish singer-songwriter called Dermot Kennedy.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that. I'll go with Ben Howard and maybe John Butler.
There we go.
Good stuff.
Let's make it happen.
So, sky's the limit.
So, Zach Saber, we thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All good. That's Zach Saber there with his new track called Soak Up the Sun, which is good stuff. But for now, more music rolls on here at Sin 90.7.
Get Serial. Sylvia. Sin 90.7.
Thank you so much for that, April. So one of the things that we talked about earlier on the show was about what we thought a strong mentor looked like and how we could sort of help the younger generation out there. Look at me talking like I'm one of the older ones.
You're so old, so wise. Bram.
Back in my day. Now, I just want to ask you, April, have you had a time in your life when you had a very good mentor? And can you recall that time?
I'd say for me, I played a lot of sport growing up.
Yeah.
And I particularly played volleyball at sort of quite a higher level. So definitely,
that's
I think in sport, role models are a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was lucky enough to get coached by a lot of like elite athletes who played even at Olympics or had played overseas in professional leagues overseas. And so that was always good to me to see like how professional they were and to learn from there, how seriously they took the sport and just pick up whatever you could from those kinds of role models.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, coming up very soon, we're going to have story time. This is the challenge for the Get Serial teams. And this time, it's for real. And this song is for real by Morat. You're listening to Sin 90.7.
Morat, for real here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Boys, we've arrived at the challenge that has been laid out for all the Get Serial groups apart from Thursday. The Thursday team did get eliminated, didn't they? So there you have it.
I think so.
So we have Rami on the line from Get Serial Mondays. Rami, how are you?
Good, bro. How's it going?
Yeah, ever so well. Now look, I have to ask firstly, I saw the video of you guys yesterday. I noticed, we're going off topic here, I noticed you're wearing a Metallica t-shirt. I'm just curious, which is your favourite Metallica album?
I don't really know the albums very well, but I'm a big fan of the track One.
Hey, can't go wrong.
Good track.
I reckon that's a nice one, yeah.
Love it. Yeah, One is the one. So we have to ask the question, what topic do you have for us for our story time today?
So this one was kind of Kelly's idea. She thought that it would be a good idea to kind of stumble you guys, and you guys have to make a story about the 2013/14 Ashes series.
Oh, okay.
What was that one more time?
The 2013/2014 Ashes series. So we're going to be talking cricket in our story time today. Perfect. Well, we thank Kelly for that. We're going to have a tough time with it, but after a song... We'll give it a try.
Played in the Ashes? So,
good luck.
So, Rami, thanks very much. We'll catch you again. Hopefully, yeah. Oh, yeah. A bit of Darling James there. God's Graffiti just played on Sin 90.7. Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Now, just for those tuning in, across all Get Serial teams from Monday to Friday, not Thursday, they went out last week. Awkward. We are in competition. One team gets eliminated every week, and it's a different topic that we're against each other for. This week, it's story time. Now, we were given the 2013-2014 Ashes series. That's what our story time is. We played a quick song. We've thought about it. We're going to give it a try live on the air. So, Tom, you're going to be our narrator here.
Yep.
And Bram and I, we're going to chime in where we can. So, let's give this a crack.
Okay. Immerse yourselves, listeners, ladies and gentlemen, and gather around because it's time for a story. Du-du-du-du-dun. Once upon a time in a woodland forest, there was a little hole in the ground. And in this hole lived a rabbit, and this rabbit's name was Mitchell Johnson. Mitchell Johnson decided it was a good idea to visit his friend, his mentor, his life mentor, Michael Clark.
I'm just going outside for a while. I may be some time.
Is that how a rabbit sounds?
Probably not, but that's how I picture
it. That's how this rabbit in this story sounds.
Let's go for it. Now, Michael Clark... Oh, Michael Clark was a wolf, and he was the most fearsome wolf. But you know what? Michael Clark was Mitchell's friend. He looked after him. He was his captain. And he said, oh, captain, my captain, Michael.
My ride or die.
Look after me. Michael, you'll see me to the end. And Michael and Mitchell have... helped each other in many times, and when you're living in the woodland forest, there could be anything out to get you, like grizzly bears or foxes. But because Michael was a wolf, he was fearsome, he was intimidating, and Mitchell tried to be intimidating too, but he was only merely a rabbit, so he could only be intimidating for a short while. So anyway, Mitchell Johnson climbed over the log that went over the river. And then he went into the burrow where Michael Clark lived. And Michael Clark stretched his legs and wagged his tail with joy. And he said to his friend,
hey, I'm home.
And Mitchell Johnson said, oh, Michael, it's so good to see you. You know what? Today I want to go on an adventure. And Michael said, you know what? I can smell a smell. And wolves are very good at smelling things. And he says, I can smell burning. I wonder if the forest is okay. So they went to follow the burning smell. And they could see smoke rising from the trees. And they went to where the smoke was. And there was this big blazing fire. And it was just slowly going out. And Michael Clark said, look, Mitchell, look at the bottom of those fires. those are ashes coming from the trees, coming down. And Mitchell said, wow, I didn't know fire made ashes and can turn trees to ashes. And he said, that's right, Mitchell. These trees won't last long if the fire keeps blazing out. We need to call the fire brigade.
Beep, beep, and remember beep. To get down low and go, go, go.
But in the middle of the fire was a terrible, great fire-breathing dragon. And the fire-breathing dragon's name was Alistair Cook.
I've come to get you.
Mitchell Johnson, the rabbit, quaked in fear and he went beneath Michael Clark's legs. And Michael said, don't worry, you're a rabbit, and rabbits are stealthy. You need to stop Alistair Cook, the fire-breathing dragon, from destroying our home. This is the ashes, and we're going to go through, and we need to get to 37 Wickets Lane. That's where we need to go. On the other side of this forest, we need to get past him. Figure out a way to slay the dragon. What Mitchell didn't know, that Michael the wolf was deathly afraid of dragons, so he was relying on Mitchell to get them through. So Mitchell Johnson the rabbit weaved his way through the ashes. He brushed them off his bunny ears and his bunny tail. And he gave Alistair Cook a tickle underneath his throat. And Alistair Cook, the fire-breathing dragon, could feel it. And what Mitchell Johnson didn't know is that Alistair Cook was deathly afraid of rabbits. And Mitchell Johnson realized this. He thought he was very clever. And he said, never touch us again. Get out of this country. Australia is ours. And Alistair Cook flew away with his big flappy dragon wings back to the coast of England. And the fire slowly went out as the CFA came to put it out.
God bless the CFA. Now we can go back in the woods.
And then Mitchell Johnson said, oh, now we can go to 37 Wickets Lane. But who was at 37 Wickets Lane? It was a bunch, a family even, of crickets. And they were chirping away, do chirping noises. And what's the thing, Bram, that crickets like to eat?
Crickets like to eat bats.
Bats. They had a feast of bats. They had bat soup and bat minestrone and bat pie and roast bat, and the grasshoppers were so full that they all snuggled into bed as snug as a bug in a rug. And Mitchell Johnson said to Michael Clark, you know what? We've had a fun day with the crickets, and we don't have to worry about Alistair Cook anymore. We can go home and have a nice sleep. So Mitchell Johnson and Michael Clark went back to their homes. They climbed over the log. Michael Clark went into his burrow. And Mitchell Johnson went back into his hidey hole. And as the owls hooted over the woodland of Australia, they all lived happily ever after in the year 2014. The end.
Hey! Well done, everyone. Well done. That was excellent. There we have it. That was our story time, a contribution for this week. So hopefully we survive another week and we can do it all again come 8:30 next week.
If you think this was worthy, like us. This is what it depends on. Like and share the video. It will be great.
On the Get Serial Facebook page, it'll shortly be uploaded. But for now, Tom, hit us with this song.
I've Got a Feeling, and this is The Feeling by Eilish Gilligan. You're listening to Sin 90.7.
Ah, yes, sirree. Get Serial Tuesdays. Ben, Tom, and Bram, welcome back to the program.
Splendid.
Eilish Gilligan there with a fantastic piece of music. Saw her at the Gasso not too long ago. And then a couple of hours later, a massive brawl. 200 people started fighting.
It's because everyone wanted your autograph.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought too, but sadly I was mistaken.
Yeah.
We asked the question. It comes up every single week. What are we looking forward to for the week ahead? And I'm going to start with our producer, Blake. Blake, I want to know, what are you looking forward to for the week ahead?
Good morning, boys. Go run. You know what?
Morning, Blake.
I haven't really got that much to look forward to this week.
Oh, Blake, don't talk like that.
I've really got not much on.
Yeah, that's Blake.
I've got not much on that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Is there a favourite TV show that you're watching at the moment that you like to look forward to?
I've been actually more re-watching shows, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like Yu-Gi-Oh! That show has aged.
Oh, I love Yu-Gi-Oh!
That show has aged so well.
Some heavy nostalgia going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was a primary school favourite. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Digimon as well?
I did. Yeah, so I got around. Good.
I remember watching that in the morning.
Well, it was the general prime cheese TV time was my favourite time in the morning. You get past the aerobics style at 6 o'clock and then you tuck into cheese TV at 7 and they play all
so
the...
good.
It was always good fun.
I'm assuming you boys remember cheese TV.
Oh, yeah.
Please don't make me feel like I'm the oldest human in this room.
I think it was everyone's goal in life to look as cool as Mr. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that his name?
That's Mr. Yu-Gi-Oh!
One thing that I'm looking forward to this week is... a show that a friend of mine is actually doing sound design for. She's a very fairly close classmate of mine. The show's called Sleepover Girls. It's part of the Melbourne Fringe Festival. And it's a theatre production that is talking about... Well, it touches on stuff like corporate feminism and it does it in an immersive environment. So, the actual play is going to be performed in an actual bedroom. So, it'll be a super intimate environment. You can find out more info on Facebook, Sleepover Girls, with a Z, and you can get your tickets from there as well. It premieres this Thursday, and it's going until the 23rd.
Oh, wow.
For every night.
Geez, bit of a run.
Yeah.
God, wouldn't you hate if you got a sore throat or you just got unwell and then you're like... Oh, no, I can't talk properly. That would be horrible. And then you got all those nights booked. Tom, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going on a creative retreat this week, which should be fun. It's also a bit of an excuse for a holiday. So, I'm going up to Sorrento for the weekend, which is something that I've been looking forward to for a little while. I'm going to take a little bit of a break from the world and think some more creative juices, get them flowing and
sounds like fun to me.
Hang out with some good people.
Perfect. Well, yeah, we're both kind of... thinking the same way. I'm going to Sydney, going to see that good old British progressive band Tesseract. Even though I'm seeing them in Melbourne the night before, I'm going to Sydney to see them as well. And I can act like a tourist and take selfies of me in front of the Opera House and not post them on Instagram because I don't have one.
You know what, Ben? You know how much I am a diehard for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. I've been tossing and turning this, and I think you've helped me make this decision. They're doing a Broadway musical of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory next year in Sydney, and it's not coming to Melbourne.
Oh.
Instead, we got Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. That was the battle between the two.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is it worth it to go to Sydney to see the show?
Oh, I think absolutely. Look,
especially if you're going with mates.
Yeah.
Look,
the reason I'm going this week is I've had like a few overseas trips, got all these extra flyer points. So, I figured, you know, it's a free trip to Sydney and it's a band I really like. So, might as well. I'm going to ask Dion, who's joining us live in the studio. Dion, I want to know, what are you looking forward to for the rest of the week?
Well, Ben, I'm glad you asked. I've got an apple pie cooling on the windowsill. I've got to feed a few birds. And I also have a 5:30 riot to attend tonight. So it's looking like it's shaping up to be a great Tuesday arvo. And I'm expecting a lot of Polaroids from your trip to Sydney, Ben. So please keep us up to date with how that's going on because we'd love to see what you're doing there. So please let us know.
Oh, absolutely, Dion. Thank you so much. Goodness. Thanks, Dion. There's plenty going on here. So, yeah, it's going to be fun times. Oh, and the new Tomb Raider comes up. And April, we also want to know, what are you looking forward to for the week ahead? Is there anybody else in the Sin House? Let's get them all in. I want to hear everyone. Let's go.
Well, I am finally getting on top of my uni assignments. So, looking forward to submitting those this week and getting that off my chest.
Getting it out of the way. And then it's done. And then you can relax.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Hello, my name is Hans Moorman. I'm looking forward to drinking a cold glass of orange juice this week.
Perfect. We had to go one.
My name's
Bean, and I'm looking forward to having a cuddle with Teddy this week.
All right, it's getting a little crazy, so...
too many people in the studio, yeah, so we need to shoot them out.
Too many, so while we still have some sanity and the show has some integrity, we're going to go out now for the week. We thank you again for joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, Bram, April, and hey, even Dion as well. We have a million people in the show.
And more, man.
And it's been an honour. So we'll see you again next week. Take care.
See you later, folks.
See ya. Woo!
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.